If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, good morning. Welcome to the day after the 4th of July. Let me see, 10 fingers, 10 toes, everything's in place. We blew up a lot of stuff last night, but we're here to discuss it. No, we're not going to discuss that. We're going to talk a little Niners and Chapman's in the house. We've both been vacationing for the last couple weeks. It's going to be a good one. Join us right now. It's the Krug Show meets the John Chapman Experience. It's going to be great. Off and running, July the 5th. Hope everybody's having a great day. It's Saturday, July the 5th. Beautiful summer day out here on the West Coast. 10:12 West Coast time, 1:12 East Coast. Hope everybody's having a great day. Welcome to the Krug Show, brought to you by Pig at a Pickle, the best barbecue in all of Northern California. Check them out. They're in Emeryville. They're in Corte Madera. They're open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. till 8 p.m. Tell them Damon and Mary sent you. Go say hi. Get some brisket. Tell them that Krug sent you, I should say. Go say hi to Damon and Mary. But also follow us. We're also brought to you by Claw Daddy Arcades. They're a great follow on IG, at Claw underscore Daddy underscore Arcades. And they got a location opening this summer in Capitola Mall, another location opening this summer in Visalia Mall. As I said, follow them on Instagram, at Claw underscore Daddy underscore Arcades, and find a location near you. And thanks to LearnKey, Upskill Academy. They're fantastic. We'll talk more about them in a bit, but the links are in the description below for all of our sponsors. Thanks to all of them for sponsoring the Krug Show. John, how are you, man? How's your summer break going?
Man, it's going well. Traveling, seeing family, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, after last night, we were out on the water watching the fireworks, which was awesome. It was clear. And, you know, after a little break, even my light went out this morning. So I get out of practice and even the equipment starts to fail. But I'm here with the legend Larry Kruger, and we're talking 49ers roster. So I'm pumped, man. Nowhere else I'd rather be.
Oh, man, I'm fired up. I'm fired up. And I'm fired up for camp because I really, you know, last year left such a bad taste in everybody's mouth. And the Niners are looking to wash it away and get on with a new season. And, you know, and there's a lot of speculation on this one. Let's be totally honest. Niners have a totally easy schedule. But it is worth noting that the last two teams in the NFL that had the statistically easiest schedule finished with losing records. So, that speaks volumes to the parity that exists in the NFL in 2025. So, yeah, they have an easy schedule, but that doesn't guarantee anything. And they went 1-5 in the division. And some people think Arizona and the Rams and Seahawks may be better. So, you know, 1-5 in the division, is that going to are they going to have a recurrence of that? Or are they going to be like they were the two previous years where they kind of own the division? I think that's a big question. You got a huge question. With no Debo, no Ayuk, do they have weapons offensively? Is the line good enough? Is Brock Purdy the Brock Purdy from last year? Is he the guy from the previous 2 years? Is the D-line good enough? Is the linebacker crew deep enough? There's a bunch of new faces in the secondary, 10 new DBs. Do we have some guys? Or is it just a bunch of, you know, waiver wire type guys that really aren't all that good? So I think this camp, I would say if you're a Niner fan, you should follow what people are saying coming out of this training camp, because we don't know what the story is going to be. It's yet to be written.
And, you know, you talk about the strength of schedule and all those things. That's based off of last year. And so all those teams that you're playing that were, quote unquote, the worst statistical strength of schedule or whatever, those teams got better because they had higher draft picks. They had a lot more cap resources and free agency. So, yeah, is it an easy schedule compared to the past? 100%. But the key thing that you talked about, if you go 1-5 in the division, nothing else matters. Every single team in the NFL has the exact same goal when they're starting out. We got to win our division. That's first and foremost. And the 49ers schedule, you start out week one with the Seattle Seahawks. So at Seattle. So you're on the road there. You've got to take care of the division first and foremost. I think everybody has hope in the NFC West right now, even the Cardinals, who have not had really any success in a long time. But they beat the 49ers twice last year. So you've got to change some of those things. And probably the biggest number one addition or change is the ability to finally stop the run. Now, it's a bunch of rookies you're relying on that defensive line, linebacker group, even secondary. But that was the Achilles heel last year, stopping the run in the fourth quarter. You were dead last in the NFL in fourth quarter points allowed under Nick Sorensen. You bring back Robert Saleh. Is that going to be enough to hold on to some of those leads? Because you had a lead over the Rams in both games that you lost. You had a lead over the Cardinals in the first game that you lost. And you had a lead over the Seattle Seahawks in the fourth quarter that you lost as well. So that's four losses right there. There was only one game, and that was the Week 18 game against the Cardinals, where you really weren't in the game in the fourth quarter. So can you start to close out some of those? And you even heard Kyle Shanahan say multiple times, we thought we were going to close out those games in the division. And that was the difference in, you know, picking 11th overall versus, you know, trying to be in that playoff hunt.
They just didn't look good down the stretch. I mean, to me, the game that I think about when I think of last year, you say, what game comes to mind? Well, it'd be easy to point to some of those late season games where, you know, Buffalo with the snow and Green Bay, and it's like, but to me, that wasn't where this season was defined. I think of two things. I think of one, I think of, the one that really comes to mind is the Geno Smith fourth quarter running for a touchdown on the Niners' home field in a divisional game where the Niners had nothing in the gas tank at all in the fourth quarter of that game. Couldn't rush the passer. Devondre Campbell couldn't tackle Geno when he ran. It was some of the worst defense I've seen since this regime has been constructed in 2017. They got a lot of question marks. Can they turn it around in the division? Can they turn it around, period? Or is this the beginning of the end of this regime? I mean, if the 49ers go and win 12 or 13 games like Albert Breer and some of these other guys are saying, then, yeah, 2024 season is going to be a footnote. But if the 49ers in 2025 are a 5 or 6 win football team, you know, then 2024 is just a little foreshadowing. And probably the regime is not going to last too much longer, I would guess, if they have another 5 and 6 win season. People would say, oh, Shanahan and Lynch, to say they're on the hot seat is ridiculous. Okay, yeah, you're kind of right if you want to be a creature of the moment. But last year happened. It wasn't like, that was just a dream. No, the last year happened. You won 6 games. If you follow that up with another 5-win type team, type season, with an easy schedule, yeah, the heat is going to be on, as what Glenn Frey used to sing. All right, somebody's asking the question, when is camp? The Smitty. He says, when is camp? Camp is July 15th, the rookies report. So we're 10 days away from that. The veterans report on July the 22nd. And I believe the first practice will probably be shortly thereafter, the 23rd or 24th. And then it's on. The Niners will travel to the Raiders for one joint practice. They will host the Broncos for a couple joint practices before their preseason tilts with those teams. Other than that, they'll be in Santa Clara all summer long. All right, let's get right into it. Do you want to start, John? Do you prefer to start on offense or start on defense? What direction?
Let's stick with defense, because that's what we were kind of talking about, and, you know, allowing those fourth quarter returns. So let's go through that and see if they improved or not and where the biggest questions are.
All right, let's hit defense. And, you know, we'll start with the defensive front. And the bottom line is the 49ers did not get any pass rush down the stretch. They had none. John was totally right. They couldn't stop the run, but then in the last 6 weeks of the year, they couldn't rush the passer. And when you can't rush the passer and you can't stop the run, you're really not going to win any games. And for the most part, they didn't. But in the offseason, they have poured resources into their defensive line. They drafted Mikel Williams in the first round. They drafted Alfred Collins, who's yet to get on the field in the second round. He's starting to concern me. I got to admit that. C.J. West was drafted in the fourth round. Sebastian Valdez was signed after the draft. And then Bryce Huff was signed as a free agent or traded for, I should say, just recently. And so you've got Huff, Williams, Collins, West, and Valdez added to your defensive line. How much confidence do you have in this defensive line? Are you more concerned about the tackles or the ends? Usually they go with 10, which would be five defensive ends, five defensive tackles generally. What do you think? What do you think of the D-line?
I think it's designed to stop the run, and you got a little extra Parmesan cheese at the end with Bryce Huff, who could come in and kind of give you some versatility in the pass rush. But make no mistake, whether you're talking Mikael Williams, whether you're talking Alfred Collins, C.J. West, your three biggest additions, they're all run stuffers. Now, the hope is some of those guys can evolve into pass rushers, but it does seem like the philosophy is, look, Robert Saleh is going to help stop the run, force third and longs. That's going to create positive pass rush opportunities for some of these guys that are quote-unquote not true pass rushers, and hopefully some of those guys can bud into Alfred Collins. I think is the one that probably has the clearest pathway to being a pass rusher, but like you said, he's not signed. He's one of 30 second round picks who still have not signed their contract, and plus you still have the calf issue. So like, is it just a contract thing? Is it the muscle thing? Like, what's going on there? What's going to happen before camp? He's supposed to report in 10 days. There's no movement in the NFL in those second round picks. No, there's two out of 32 second round picks have signed in the NFL. Like, that is, we're at an impasse here. And so like that's weird, but I do like that you had a goal in mind. We're going to stop the run and force teams to be one dimensional and try to go for those third and longs, and then we'll allow them to develop into pass rushers. And Mikael Williams, who probably the biggest question mark on pass rush productivity, well, you're going to kick him inside. You know, we just talked about Geno Smith rushing for that game-winning touchdown in San Francisco. Well, Etur Gross Matos was playing on the inside there and quit. Like, he was trying to get out the play before. He was tired. He was tapping his helmet. And Nick Sorensen said, nope, you got to stay out there. They snapped the ball. He stood straight up, took two steps, and watched him and Leonard Floyd, who were just gassed. Now you have a little bit more of a rotation. You've got younger guys out there. Etur's still there, but now he's going to be a rotational piece instead of playing as much as he was that game. So you're hoping that the depth can translate to more energy and there's more third and longs. My biggest question, Larry, is, man, you're relying on a lot of rookies to grow and develop from college to the NFL in 1 year, in one offseason. That's a little problematic to me. I wish there was a little bit more veteran depth at the defensive tackle position and defensive end position, because right now you really just got Bosa and Huff. Outside of that, it's a bunch of young pups. So we'll have to see how it translates. But it's not like a lot of people are projecting like, oh, the D-line's back. And I'm just like, hold on. That's a lot of rookies and a lot of translation that you haven't seen before. I'm not sure you're going to go 3-for-3 with Mikael Williams, Alfred Collins, and C.J. West. I like to think that, and I could see that, but NFL history says, man, you're probably not going to go 3-for-3 with those picks.
Well, I mean, think about first, you know, any pick. Forget what round. You've got on one end of the spectrum, they're awesome, right? They're starting immediately, and they're one of your best players that you drafted a star, right? That doesn't happen all that often, right? Where you draft a guy, you put him in the lineup, and he's better than everybody else you have on your team, and he's your best player. He's your star. You drafted Micah Parsons, now he's your best. You know, whatever. You drafted Patrick Willis, now he's your best. It doesn't happen a whole lot. So that's the extreme on one end, right? Then you've got the, hey, we drafted him, and he's not the best player on our team, but he is a starter right away. Then we drafted him, and he's not a starter right away, but you know what? He's a rotation player right away, and he's doing some positive things. Then there's we drafted him right away, and he's not really ready to be a rotation player. Then we've drafted him right away, but he's hurt, and he's not on the field, and, you know, we still like him and his potential. That's why we drafted him, but it's a miles away from being a star. You know what I'm saying? These are all possibilities along the road for rookies, including, hey, he played three snaps in minicamp and sucked and they cut him. You know, it could be as extreme like that, or it could be extreme like he's the best player on your team and he's going to Canton. So a lot of times people are like, oh, can you hit? Can you hit? Well, the hit, quote unquote hit, are all the extreme wins. And in reality, there's so many options that are south of hit that could be come into play here that it's not quite like, hey, you know, it's 50-50. It's like, it's more like 20% you're going to truly hit, and the guy's a star and a starter. And I would say, you know, there's at least 40 or 50% chance that he's a work in progress. You like him, he's not ready. You like him, but he's hurt. You like him, whatever. You know what I'm saying? The Niners, are you more concerned about the interior or about the outside on that D-line?
I'm more concerned about the interior depth. That's a problem to me because you have guys like Jordan Elliott, who Kyle Shanahan referenced as one of his best run defenders last year, which I thought was insane to me. I do think, you know, Jordan Elliott's a good player, but it's, you know, three or four bad plays, one explosive, amazing play. The consistency or lack thereof is an issue. Kevin Givens is somebody you're going to have to rely on. And he's a true, like, technique-driven three tech that can anchor against a double team and plays with great technique, but he's an undrafted free agent. Like, you don't have, again, this is dependent upon C.J. West and Alfred Collins hitting, as you just said. There's not a lot of space behind them. Kalia Davis, like, who are you relying on if one or two of those guys don't pan out? And I do think that they will pan out. I have a lot of confidence in Alfred Collins. I think that that was, I loved that pick. I know you weren't big on that pick, but I loved it. But now it's in question. He hasn't signed his deal, still the calf issue, all those things. But I think they'll be able to stop the run. But I don't know who the pass rusher is. Besides kicking in, Mikael Williams, besides, like, Ettore Gross Motto's playing tackle, whatever. Who's rushing the passer? So, yes, great, you're going to stop the run. And I like that they addressed that need full flip. Like, they went all in on that. Somebody got to hit the quarterback. I don't know where it's going to come from on the inside.
When they paid $20 million for Hargrave because they felt they needed an interior pass rusher, then they got rid of him because he wasn't very good. He wasn't worth the money. But as you said, who's going to rush the passer from the inside? Now, Jordan Elliott's interesting. The Niners signed Jordan Elliott to a two-year, $7 million deal last offseason, and he struggled. He only had seven pressures, and you said Shanahan said he was one of his better run defenders. Well, PFF doesn't think so because his run stop rate was 4.6%. That was tied for the ninth worst among interior defensive linemen with at least 200 runs defense snaps. So he, you know, His average depth of tackle for Jordan Elliott was 1.6 yards, tied for 12th best. So he was able to corral, you know, when he was able to bring down running backs, he did it, you know, without them getting big yardage. Let's talk about, though, about the Niners would save $2.94 million against the cap if they move on from Elliott. I hear you, though, as far as this depth chart at tackle. It's like, okay, so first of all, my first question is, who starts? Who are the starters? Is it Jordan Elliott and Kevin Givens, and you're going with the old school guys? Is it C.J. West and Alfred Collins, and you're going with the guys you just invested in and you're hoping become the guys? Is it Evan Anderson and Kalia Davis, the guys who put together maybe the best interior film from last year over the course of the full year? I don't know who the starters are, and I don't know who the pass rushers are either, because West is a run defender, Collins is a run defender, Anderson's a run defender. I think those are your three best tackles on paper. Givens is a pass rusher. Kalia Davis is a pass rusher. I think Valdez might be a pass rusher.
I like Valdez.
Yeah, I like Valdez too, and I think there's a very good chance Valdez takes either Givens or Elliott or Kalia Davis's spot. I think that's going to happen. But, yeah, interior is an issue for sure. As far as and I'll tell you my thought on Collins. I'll defer to you. You watch Texas. You liked him. Here's the one thing about him. he played all the games at Texas, so I was not really that concerned. But he's been in a walking boot, unable to practice since before the draft. They said it was a calf, but anytime you hear calf, I'm always worried about Achilles. And then when I saw the interview that he did, it was the one rookie interview that I did wasn't there for, and I just happened to see it the other day on the Niner website or Niner YouTube channel. And he was like, "Hey, who do you model your game after?" And he gave, it's like any answer is a good answer, right? Pretty much, unless the guy's terrible. He's like, "I don't watch a lot of NFL football."
Hey, Niner faithful. If you're looking for tickets to see the 49ers play this season, Tick Pick is the destination for the best deals you'll find on tickets with absolutely no hidden fees. Tick Pick guarantees the best price on tickets to every NFL game and beyond. Download the Tick Pick app and use code Niners, N-I-N-E-R-S, at checkout to save $10 on your first order. Again, that's code Niners. Get your tickets ready today to cheer on the team with the rest of the 49ers Rush community. And all of our events for the 49ers Rush road trip are sold exclusively on the Tick Pick app or tickpick.com. Just search 49ers Rush.
That's what he said. I don't watch a lot of NFL football. So, I mean, it's not a prerequisite to play in the NFL that you watch a lot of NFL football. But I don't know. That makes me nervous. The fact that he hasn't practiced, that he looks like if he played, he's got just unbelievable ability, almost like too good to be true. Too big, too fast, too strong. He's just unbelievable prospect on paper. And it just, I don't know, maybe it's because he's so good of a prospect on paper, it has me worried. But he hasn't gotten on the field. I asked Mayoko about this earlier this week. I said, how much of a concern is it? And he's like, I think it has to be a concern. So, you know Texas ball. Should we, is Collins a concern, or is he going to, once camp starts, he's going to be this wrecking ball and we're going to laugh and at the even the notion that we were concerned?
I do think you have to be concerned. And again, I am a Texas guy. I was, before day two of the NFL draft, I tweeted out what I wanted the 49ers big board to be. Alfred Collins was my number one before the 33rd pick went. Like, I wanted Alfred Collins badly. And my favorite thing about him is he's his best in the biggest moments of the biggest games. Third and one, fourth and goal, fourth quarter. Alfred Collins is the guy. And played in 64 out of 65 games. Like you talked about, like he is a guy. Now he was a two gapper run stuffer. Like that was what they used him for. And they got their pressure off the edge. And they basically told him, look, dude, your job is not to rush the passer. He was a situational run stuffing player. Then his big impact was deflecting passes batted down, things like that. That's how he contributed there. I am concerned. But you asked who the starters were. If I had it my way, the two starters would be, I'd go with Alfred Collins, assuming he's healthy, and Evan Anderson. Base situation, those are the two guys I want out there. Just stop the damn run. Then rotate in whenever it's third and whatever else. You could keep Alfred Collins out there. But who I think the starters will be, I think it's going to be Jordan Elliott and the second round pick Alfred Collins. They love Jordan Elliott. I don't know why. He didn't even get a sack last year. Two quarterback hits only. He's not good against the run, but like they love that dude. And he came out in the draft, the same draft as Javon Kinlaw, and Chris Kucerik was high on him then. And so it's just like one of those things, like, why can't I quit you? Like they love that dude. And I don't see it. So my guess is Jordan Elliott and Alfred Collins will start, but man, I want Evan Anderson to get some more snaps early.
Our lads agrees with you, John. They have Jordan Elliott and Alfred Collins right here.
They do great work,
starting,
by the way.
Starting on the defensive line. Yeah, no, our lads is a fun, I love our, if you're looking for depth charts of the NFL that are complete and up to date to the minute, this is it right here. It's even better than NFL.com. I'm not even joking.
Yeah.
Jordan Elliott, Alfred Collins. I guess I would say my starters have to include C.J. West because I think West is really good. But he doesn't get off the ball, and I think he's better against the run than the pass. And getting off the ball is a big part about being an NFL defensive lineman. It's hard to win in the NFL if you don't get off the football. And C.J. West doesn't get off the football that well. I mean, that's the downside. Now, I'm not concerned at all because that's a refinement that will happen at the pro level. That's a you know, Chris will get him faster off the ball. It's just about timing and desire and learning tricks of the trade and how to get off the ball. But once C.J. West starts to win off the ball and get off the ball quick, then I think you're going to see a dominant player because he's winning despite not getting off the ball, if you watch his Indiana film at least. All right, let's talk about the defensive ends for a second. So my five defensive tackles, by the way, are Jordan Elliott, Alfred Collins, C.J. West, Rob Evan Anderson, and then I think it's a three-man battle between Kalia Davis, Kevin Givens, and Sebastian Valdez. And I think there's a chance Valdez gets that job. I would not be shocked if there, you know, now if there's an injury, maybe, you know, two of those guys get the job. Heck, if there's two injuries, all three of those guys are going to wind up making the team. But, I would say of the five defensive tackles, Collins, West, Elliott for sure, Evan Anderson for sure, those four, and then Kalia, Givens, and Valdez battling for the fifth spot. As far as the defensive ends, you know, you need five, and you got Bosa, Mikel Williams, Bryce Huff, Yetur Gross-Matos, those four. And then I think everybody else, the other four guys, Beal, Garvin, Teron Jackson, and Sam Aquinu, I think they battle for one spot. I think Aquinu's got the upper hand on it. But that's kind of how I see the defensive ends. What do you think of the defensive ends? I mean, there's a lot of speculation. Some people are still speculating that Niners may offload Yetur Gross-Matos for cap reasons. I think if they were going to do it, they would have done it by now. So I think Yetur Gross-Matos is a, you know, I think John Lynch is very invested in Yetur Gross-Matos showing something. So what do you think, John? I mean, as the defensive ends, Mikel, Huff, Bosa, Yetur Gross-Matos, do you agree that it's Beal, Garvin, Aquinu, and Teron Jackson for that last spot? Or do you think Aquinu's in front of Gross-Matos?
Yeah, I don't think – I'm a huge Sam-O guy, and I trust him a lot more at the defensive end spot than Yetur Gross-Matos, but because – and again, you know, if we look at it with the context we just provided, there's a major question mark at pass rusher at defensive tackle. Well, Yetur Gross-Matos helps you there. I think he would be the one in the NASCAR package to kick into tackle before Mikel Williams even early on. So, like, I think that's there. But from a true end perspective, Sam O was already in starting reps, you know, like Bosa was injured, you know, whatever else. But, like, it was Sam O and Leonard Floyd starting ends a few times last year. And so I think that there's a clear – you've got your top four, Bosa, Huff, Mikel Williams – those are your top three. Then after that, you've got Yetur Gross-Matos, Sam O, Robert Beal. That's somebody that
big,
I think
big name.
You know, he was drafted as a speed rusher out of Georgia. He's been the exact opposite. They flipped it halfway through the season. You look at those last four games, he's only playing run snaps now. It turns out he's a pretty damn good run stuffer and sets the edge incredibly well. Not why you drafted him, and they were so frustrated because he couldn't rush the passer for beans. But it's like, well, wait a second. This dude set the edge pretty damn good. They had no choice but to play him with all the injuries last year. So now, like, okay, well, we got this Robert Beal guy who is a stud special teamer. You only had really two to three quality special teamers last year. Well, Robert Beal was one of those. And he could set the run, which Robert Saleh cares more about than anything. So I think it's a clear define, like, those are your guys. And then, you know, Garvin and Teron Jackson, those are your practice squads. Neither one of them probably make it. One of them clears, you bring them back. But man, this end room, I think, is kind of decided. Like I'm not really seeing much competition here for who's making the 53 and who's not. Something could change, but I think it's pretty clearly defined. I wish there was one more guy fighting for that 53. I do wish there was a little bit more veteran presence here, but I got Bosa, Huff, Yetur Gross-Matos, Mikel Williams, Sam O, Robert Beal. I think they keep six.
Wow.
And they've flipped here a few times where they've kept five ends, six tackles. They kept six tackles, five ends, and they've done 5-5 because they always manipulate the roster with Pup and all that kind of different whatever. But I think you need all six, especially whenever you bring in Bryce Huff, who is just going to get 20 snaps a game as a pass rusher only. Like, I think you need those other guys, especially with Mikael Williams kicking inside pass rush, Yetur Gross-Matos kicking inside pass rush. Like, I this is a position where I think you keep six personally.
I wouldn't hate it. To me, it's such an important aspect of football is being able to move the opposing quarterback off his spot. That yeah, if Beal looks like a ton and Aquinu looks good, yeah, I'd keep them both. I wouldn't cut the same way. There's certain positions you just don't cut. You don't cut quality cover corners, and you don't cut really dangerous pass rushers because that's where the game is won, I think. So, you know, Beal, I will say this. It is now or it is never for Robert Beal. I mean, you don't get forever. He was a fifth-round pick in 2023. It's now July of 2025. It's go time. He's either going to show something and be a part of this thing, or he's going to get cut.
And if he gets cut, the Eagles are claiming him day one. Yeah. Like, he's exactly what they want.
Oh, and they, you know, they have the rest of his team over a college team, you know, right there on that same Eagle line, all those Georgia players. All right, let's move to linebacker. You know, it's to me the best battle of camp is going to be D. Winters against Nick Martin for that number two linebacker spot next to Fred Warner. A lot of people expect Winters to win it. I would say. You know, I like Nick Martin. I think Winters, you know, Winters is nice, right? He's fast. He's athletic. He just is not, he doesn't really, when he hits people, they don't go down. You know, they just don't go down. It's like, he's not a solo. He doesn't have a lot of power in his tackling. He's very fast. He's a good coverage player and he's a good sideline to sideline player. But I think Nick Martin is a little bit better, a little bit more solid tackler.
And that's his best Martin, part of his game versus the weakest part of the game. The other, like, contrasting styles. Yeah, very well said, Larry.
So you got Winters, you got Warner, you got Nick Martin. Whoever starts, they're all going to be on the team. Those three, and you probably have three others that you're looking for. And I would say it's Tatum Bethune, who looks great, Luke Gifford, who's signed to be a special teamer, and then it's going to come down to that last spot. And I think it could be Stone Blanton, it could be Chaz Surratt, it could be Jalen Graham, it could be Curtis Robinson. I mean, you know, they're all going to battle. Curtis looked great last year, but then he had a very serious injury. He's a tremendous guy. They're Walter Payton, candidate for last year. Chaz Surratt came from the Jets, so he's kind of handpicked. He was a former quarterback who's got great athletic ability and is kind of learning the position. You have Jalen Graham, who was a seventh-round pick in 2023, and it's now or never for him. And then you got Stone Blanton, who was like second in the SEC in tackles last year, pretty productive player. And when I talked to Johnny Holland about him, it wasn't like, yeah, you know, he's just a guy. It was like, we really like Stone Blanton, and he gets better every single day, and I haven't seen him make the same mistake twice, and I really, you know, so Johnny's talking him up. What do you think? How's the linebacker core going to shake out?
Well, this is Robert Saleh's position, and you got to understand, he brought in not one, not two, not three, four brand-new players to a deep linebacker room already. There were already bodies there, a lot of young guys there. He went and got his guys. And yeah, I'm with you. Whoever wins the D Winners, Nick Martin competition, whatever you want to call that, that's fine. The loser will be a starter at the number three spot. I think those are the three guys. And so however that shakes out, that's fine. Tatum Bethune, he's shown a lot of promise and improved so much. And again, if Robert Saleh is serious about stopping the run, well, nobody's better than Tatum Bethune at that. Like, that's just what he does. But man, Stone Blanton, I cannot find a way where this guy is not around. I just can't do it. I am.
You,
all
now, John,
in.
You talked to him, right? You have him on your show right after the draft, or am I thinking of somebody else?
No, that was us, and it was awesome. It was like 2 days before his wedding, and he jumps on our show and like chats it up and has a good time. And all he talked about was film, leadership, character, toughness, like. This guy is like Johnny Holland, old school. You remember your question? Like, Johnny Holland's like, I played quarterback too, you know? Like,
quarterback. He said that.
It's so like, that was awesome interview, man. It's so like, I think they love this guy. They really, really do. Now, Luke Gifford's going to be on this roster. He's got 600,000 guaranteed, second most at the position. And Chaz Surratt, that's a Robert Saleh. They had the Hard Knocks. I don't know if you remember seeing that one where Chaz Surratt got intercepted for the Jets. He's like, that's my guy. And then he brought him here. Like, this is a rough. And if I'm sitting there and I'm Jalen Graham or I'm Curtis Robinson, who's probably going to be stashed on the PUP and maybe he'd be there all year, and say basically like, look, dude, we're going to stash you. If you want to go elsewhere, we'll release you on an injury statement. But they love him. Walter Payton, Man of the Year nominee. Like, so this is, you've got a lot of bodies. And who's going to be the odd one out? Jalen Graham, I don't think has a chance, which I hope he hears this or sees this and balls out and proves this wrong, because I like Jalen Graham a lot, but I think he's just a little too slow. He can't be undersized and slow. But, man, you've got depth. This is the deepest position on the defense by a mile. It's going to be fun, man. This is murderer's row because you're cutting 2 to 3 good players.
You got some good players there. There's probably going to be at least one injury, right? Because it's linebacker. And these guys, you know, the collisions is the name of the game. So let's say we got to come up with 6. It's Fred. It's Winters. It's Martin. Those 3 for sure.
Luke Gifford's making it.
Gifford for sure. Once again, I did a video on this about the money aspect, and the money aspect plays a role. Gifford is going to be on the team. So that's 4. So you need 2 more. I think Bethune, to me, looks like a ton. And then I would say Surratt is likely to make it just on the solid connection. So there's 6. So I think those are your 6. Now, if there's an injury, and I do expect there will be 1, there's an opening for either Curtis Robinson, Jalen Graham, or Stone Blanton. But I'm with you. I think it's going to be there will be an injury, but it will be Stone Blanton over Curtis Robinson and Jalen Graham. So, and I don't know if Robinson, you know, will be on the PUP list or how it will work out, but I think that'll be my guess. That'll be my guess how the linebacker spot is pared down. All right, let's move to the secondary, because there's a lot of, you said there's a lot of new linebackers. There's even more new DBs. There's 10 new, here are the new DBs: Trey Brown, Upton Stout, Jason Pinnock, Richie Grant, Marquise Siegel, Dallas Flowers, Saron Neal, Derek Canteen, Jacob Robinson. And then I don't remember seeing Trey Avery last year, but he's not considered a new player. So obviously they had him last year. So, okay, so let's start. There's usually 10 DBs, right? Usually 10 DBs. 5. The Niners many years have gone with 6 corners and 4 safeties. Most teams go with 5 and 5. Some teams go with 9 DBs, you know, maybe 5 corners and 4 safeties. Why don't we start at safety? So this is kind of interesting because you got Jair Brown and Malik Mustafa on the one line. Mustafa looks great as far as coming back. He seems like he's not that far away, but who knows? And then you have Brown, who's coming off a down year. There's a lot of Niner fans that don't believe in him anymore. I'm not one of them. I actually do believe in the kid. I think he's got there's a lot there. But then the Niners went out and signed Richie Grant and Jason Pinnock. I like both those signings. And they drafted Marquise Siegel, who, you know, runs really, really well. And actually had a couple big hits in the East-West Shrine game that I saw. So what do you think? I mean, do they keep 4 safeties? And what does that mean for George Odom, who's a special teamer? I mean, it seems to me that George Odom, who's a valued member of the special teams, looks like he's set up to be cut here. Well, how do you see safety?
I agreed with you, but he had a $1 million option on April 1st. And so, like, whenever they kept adding all these safeties, I was like, oh, okay, Odom's going to be gone. April 1st comes and goes. And then we find out after the draft, oh, by the way, Malik Mustafa's hurt. Oh, by the way, Jair Brown's hurt. Like, so it was kind of like, it was weird and cryptic because, man, you replaced Odom with the Pinnock and Richie Grant. And like, so like, if you were going to cut him, you should have cut him a month ago, but now you've got all these injuries, and even Marquise Siegel, who you drafted, he's, you know, a little bit banged up as well. So, man, I don't know, because if you were going to cut Odom, which I thought was going to happen, you would have done it before April 1. You already kicked an extra $1 million against the cap. So you might, here's where I think they might get, depending on the timetables, because let's assume Malik Mustafa is going to be on the PUP. So he doesn't count. Okay. So he's not going to be one of your five.
Which
right?
means what, John? That's 4 weeks or 6 weeks?
Yeah, it's 4 weeks now. 4 weeks. And so, yeah, they always are changing it 4 to 6. And if I'm wrong, oh my gosh, I wish I could look that up right now, but that's okay. Somebody on the, you guys watching, help us out. The new
yeah,
CBA
yeah. If you're in the chat and you know the answer to that one, feel free.
And I have no qualms saying I'm wrong all the time, even though I study this stuff.
some of these fine, you know, sometimes the fans do know more about some of these little
100%. We very educated audience. Larry has my audience. Pick it up. Let's go. So let's say Malik doesn't count. Okay. Jair Brown. That's one. Jason Pinnock getting a lot of guaranteed money. He's making it. That's two. Marquise Siegel, three. George Odom, four. Richie Grant, five. Like that kind of works. I don't know. What am I missing there?
Well, I'll say this. Pinnock and Grant on the practice field look like a ton. They really do. They both look really
good. They could be starting week one.
They look really good, John. I mean, really good. Pinnock is fast and covers, and he looks fast for a safety, and because he's a former corner. And Richie Grant was a second round pick, and I know when the Niners signed him, people were like, special teamer, and I'm like, wait a second. This guy was a second-round pick at Appalachian State like 45 minutes ago. Now he's a career special teamer. So I like Richie Grant, and I've seen him look really good on the practice field. So I don't know. I mean, I kind of feel like the violence that you see in football, a lot of it is manifested at this position, and it's like almost like you can never have enough of these guys. I get the feeling that this safety discussion is much ado about nothing because – I just think that they're going to wind up needing all these guys. I mean, Mustafa outhits his body. Brown, the same. Odom, I think of as more of a special teamer, especially after watching Justin Jefferson blitz him in that Minnesota 97-yard touchdown pass. But, I don't see them cutting anybody. I think it will kind of solve itself. I think they're going to need all these numbers, and they may even need another one. Are you in that camp that believes they should go sign a Simmons or a Blackman or one of these veteran safeties, or do you think you would be happy going into camp with what you got?
If you didn't have Malik Mustafa coming back, then yes, I would. But like half of your problem's right there. And yeah, Marquise Siegel hopefully can develop into something. We still don't even know where he's going to play, whether that's slot, safety, whatever. Like, and Jair Brown. Like, so you've got a lot of bodies there. Now, the 49ers have the cap space to sign anybody that they want to sign, but they're going to roll that forward. So I wouldn't be upset with it, but I know Justin Simmons, and he is not going to sign anywhere unless he's going to be starting all year. I don't think the Niners can promise that. And so that's why, again, whenever you talk about signs or trade, it has to make sense for the team, has to make sense for the player. If you're Justin Simmons, why would you come here? Hey, man, we want you to come back until Malik Mustafa comes back and maybe Jair Brown, and we're going to rotate. Like, no, that ain't how I play. I'll wait. I know I'll start somewhere. That's just kind of the way I see that. Not that it wouldn't make your team better. Justin Simmons makes every single team better. So from that standpoint, yeah, that's not how the Niners roll at safety. It's really, really not. If you have another big injury or Malik isn't ready to come back, but I think that he is going to be, then maybe. But I don't think they're in that situation right now.
Yeah, no, I think they think they're pretty fortified with Grant and Pinnock and Siegel. Mustafa is obviously the best player back there. If Brown could bounce back and be really good, now you've got one of the deepest positions on the team, right? You got Mustafa, who's a great young player, and you got Jair Brown bouncing back, and Grant and Pinnock and Siegel and Odom, and, you know, as backups. I mean, that's pretty good. All right, let's talk about what I think is maybe the most interesting position on the defense, and that's the corner, okay? Oof. So most teams, you know, as I said, go with 10 DBs, maybe four safeties, six corners. You're probably not going with more than six. Most teams go with five. Unlike the old days where your top corners played all the time, your number three corner was important, and the number four and five corners weren't important, in today's modern game, the fourth and fifth corner are on the field all the time. You could make an argument that they're some of the more important players you have. So you have to have depth at corner.
49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get autographed. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
The Niners have Renardo Green, Demo Lenore, and most likely either Trey Brown or Upton Stout to start at the nickelback. I think it'll probably wind up being Stout because I think Stout's a better cover guy. And why this is so interesting is because the Niners were, according to reports, showed a little interest in Damon Arnette last week. Now, he signed with the Texans, so they didn't get him. But the Niners and Packers both showed interest. The reason it's so interesting is that Arnette has had a world of issues off the field. And to me, when I saw that, that tells me that John Lynch is absolutely trying desperately to find one more corner who can cover who doesn't cost a lot of money. Like, they could have gone after Ramsey, but they didn't. Why? Because he cost a lot of money. They don't want to pay a lot of money. But they want to find another corner, and they're willing to maybe even take a chance on some bad characters to find that player. So that the Arnette interest to me was very eye-opening. And I don't know, to me, this is also where, you know, where my eyes are going to be a lot this summer in camp. I'm going to spend a lot of time watching this position because you got Green, you got Lenore, and let's say you got Stout as your starters. So those three, now you need to find three more out of Trey Brown, Trey Avery, Chase Lucas, Jacob Robinson, Derek Canteen, Dallas Flowers, Darrell Luter, and Saron Neal. Okay, so then I would say if you look at the money,
right,
Saron Neal is guaranteed $2.25 million. And I think what that tells me is that he is absolutely going to be on this football team. So it's Saron Neal, Stout, Demo, and Renardo. So you have four of your, let's say, five or six corners. You need to find one or two out of Trey Brown, Trey Avery, Chase Lucas, Jacob Robinson, Derek Canteen, Darrell Luter, Dallas Flowers. I love Darrell Luter, so that would be one of my guys. And my sense of it is that Jacob Robinson from BYU might get the other job. But I don't know. We'll see. Trey Brown is also guaranteed $500,000. Trey Avery is a very physical player. Canteen's got great ball skills. Flowers has maybe some of the best size and speed. So how do you see corner?
I feel like this is just a dartboard approach. Like, they just literally are, look, these are a lot of guys with high upside that kind of fit our scheme, and one of them got to stick. And I've been clamoring since the end of free agency and the undrafted free agents and everything. Outside corners is the biggest need on this team. I do like the fact that they're willing to look into every single opportunity. You know, you talked about Damon Arnette, and, you know, they ended up passing on him. You could have got him for pennies. I'm glad they passed on him, but I'm glad they looked into it. You remember they met with the who was the Marshall Edge, you know, that had all the allegations and whatever in the draft. Mike Green, they met with him like four times.
Mike Green, yep.
So, yep. But they didn't draft him. They passed him in the first and second round. So I like that they're looking into it. But I also like that they're being a little reserved. I do think they need an outside corner big time. Trey Brown would kind of be my inside track for winning that extra job, but he's missed 39 games in the past 4 years. But his tape's good, and he can play it. He's physical and whatever else, but it's just, man, can he stay healthy? That's the question. And if he can't, then, yeah, I love Jacob Robinson. But, man, who's playing nickel? You spend a third round on Upton Stout. Diamador Lenore is one of the best nickels in the NFL. Jacob Robinson, probably just a nickel only early on. He's pretty light, added some weight, you know, but still, I don't know what it is they're trying to do, because I feel like they're trying to solve a problem that you finally solved in D'Amador Lenore. Kyle Shanahan said last year at the end of the year, closing out, we want Demo to play one position. We think that he could be better if he plays one position. And I'm cool with that, but it's like you finally got a corner the first time in the Kyle Shanahan era that could stop the slot fade, D'Amador Lenore, and now you're just going to stick him back outside, which from an NFL value standpoint, I understand that, but it's just like, I don't know. You brought in four or five guys that can play nickel, and I'm like, dude, you have the best nickel in the NFC West. Like, let him stay there. So I don't know. How do you feel about the whole Demo inside out or just keep him out?
It's perplexing, man, because on one hand, I was like, hey, man, sign Ramsey and let Ramsey play outside and move Demo inside. But I got to think that now that they've got a sizable financial stake in Demo, I think they also now have some incentive to get him out of the box as an undersized run defender. Now, the name that's out there that I would be interested in is the former Cincinnati Bengal Mike Hilton. He's out there, and you know, Athlon's said the Niners, you know, they said they listed Mike Hilton as a strong free agent option for the Niners. Bleacher Report also supported the idea of the Niners adding Hilton, adding the Niners to the Cowboys and Raiders as teams that have interest in Hilton. You know, if you sit there and say, why am I so hot to trot on Hilton? He is a run defender, man. He's an excellent run defender. He's got a great nose for the ball. I like this guy in college. Last year, he earned a PFF defensive grade of 75.9 or higher in each of the past two seasons, I should say. Last 2 years, his 91.7 run defense grade last year was a career best, and that also ranked him as the top defensive back in the NFL in that category. So, I mean, you're talking about a guy who's played the majority of his career in the nickel. He's got 13 career picks, 11.5 sacks off the edge, 56 passes defense. He's played 8 years in the NFL. He's kind of a gamer. I think this nickel spot is so freaking hard to play that you want to have multiple guys who can play it. And if I were the Niners, I would take pressure off of Upton Stout. I know he says he's ready, and I know he looks ready and this and that, but I would go after a guy like Hilton and then just see. Can Hilton, who looks good? Does Hilton look good? Great, then he starts. Does Lenore look better? Then maybe Lenore starts inside. But I would like to have one more non-rookie option, and that doesn't include Lenore. And I agree. If you're going to commit to Lenore outside, I mean, I understand Lenore was really good inside. Some would say, hey, keep him there. But if you want to preserve his body a little bit more because you want to get him out of the box against the run, so that makes sense. But then if you're only going to have a 5'8 rookie as the only thing that prevents him from playing the nickel, that's like, then you can't really say that he's going to be there all year. If you had a guy like Hilton, now you could be like, okay, Demo, we're going with Upton Stout or Hilton or Trey Brown, anybody but you inside, and we're going to keep you outside. And if that's the plan, I like it more. But I would like to see one more dependable. It could be Asante Samuel. I know he's had the neck problems and concussions and whatnot. But I'd like one more real corner, not a prospect, not a guy with great measurables. Somebody who's actually a really good player.
Agreed, 100%. And I will say, I haven't even considered or entered into my argument the whole Demo keeping him outside to preserve his career. A+ by you, man. And so whenever you're at camp, whenever it's closed off to just the media, man, you got to tell us, are they moving Demo around, or is he just sitting outside? Like, that's, man, I'm so curious. I want to see how that's going to play out.
Let's jump to the offense. And before we do, let's tell people, and we won't spend as much time on the offense because there's a little bit more questions on D. with the defense being remade. But we are, of course, brought to you by our good friends at LearnKey Upskill Academy, an online learning platform designed to get you job ready in 6 months or less. Doesn't matter what field you're interested in, they offer 30 different certification programs. They will help you make that next step in your professional career. They've been in business for 37 years. They've helped over 200,000 students along the way. Over 100 students every month in this program are placed in new, well-paying jobs. So LearnKey Upskill Academy, thanks to them for sponsoring the Krug Show. All right, we've got this interesting one from J49. Oh, no, actually, J49 says Larry Rocks. Well, that's interesting, too. But yes, we get this one from Alex. Alex, is Kyle Pitts inquiries? Let's talk tight end for a second. There was some talk last week about Darnell Washington to the Niners after the Steelers got Jonnu Smith. Where are you with the tight end spot? Because this is another spot that I think is really, really interesting. They wanted to get Kittle in the pattern more than they had him in the pattern last year because they needed him to block. So they brought in Luke Farrell. So Luke Farrell's a good blocker. So he replaces Charlie Warner. But then you look at every other tight end on the Niner depth chart, and they're all underpowered, receiving only non-blockers. I mean, it's Kittle, who's both. He's a two-way tight end. It's Farrell, who's a blocker. It's Dwelly, who's just a receiver. It's Willis, who's really just a receiver. It's Tongas, who's really, really just a receiver. And then it's Pline, who's a converted basketball player, and we think that he's probably much better as a receiver. So, I mean, and Kyle Pitts, the idea of Kyle Pitts, he would be another receiver. Where are you at tight end? Do you like the group? Would you add to this mix? Are you comfortable with what they have right now?
One of my biggest issues with the draft, which I thought the 49ers had a great draft, but one of my own personal critiques was I really thought they were going to have add a move tight end in one of the deepest tight end drafts that's been around in a long time. Like, you know, Harold Fanta Jr. or, you know, Jalen Conyers, like whatever.
Jalen Conyers was there for them all day on day three, and they passed, and they worked this guy out. Yeah, they worked it. I mean, this guy I thought was, I don't know who got him, but he's going to be a steal. I don't know who got him, but he's fantastic.
So I was a little like, man, they got me there because I really thought that they were going to add some of that. They didn't. And they do need. They need a move tight end now. I love the Luke Farrell signing. I thought that was their first priority, by the way, Larry. Like, they went out and signed him before anybody else. Like, they wanted to be able to release Kittle in the way that they wanted to and allow that kind of 12 personnel, one back, two tight end sets, do what they wanted to do. So, but, man, yeah, they're betting that somebody's going to come out of that group. I don't have a lot of hope. I hope Mason Plyne wins, personally. Yeah. Just because he's the only guy that has any relative upside whatsoever out of those four guys that you mentioned. But yeah, I thought that this was a miss. I would have really have liked to have spent a fifth, sixth, seventh round pick on a move tight end to develop into a spot. But, you know, I'm being picky here. But yeah, I don't know who it's going to be. I want it to be Mason Plyne, but that dude didn't even get snaps in training camp last year. Can true he finally redshirt. Get into the fold? Yeah, it was a true redshirt.
Yeah, they redshirted Pline. I think Pline's the guy they like is at number three, but who knows? And I'll say this too: if this could, there could be somebody around the league that gets cut that they would have interest in. And then there are those who are like Krug. Why are you bagging on the Niners for being 26th in the NFL and undrafted free agent spending? For that reason alone, because Jalen Conyers, I believe, might have been an undrafted free agent. There were a number of good undrafted free agent tight ends, and the Niners didn't get any of them. And that, to me, was a position of need. So, and being 26th in undrafted free agent spending, it just makes no sense at all. That is especially this year, made no sense at all because that was the most fruitful market. And that, to me, sounded like it came from above. That sounded like an ownership edict, which always
scares
Jalen
Conyers, he got $100,000 guaranteed from Miami.
Yeah, I mean, the Niners didn't spend big money in the undrafted market. And if they had another $100,000, they may be able to get this guy. Now, we'll see. Maybe a couple of these guys will wind up getting cut anyway, and they can find somebody at the cutdown. But I think they'll be looking for somebody at the cutdown if Dwelly, Willis, Tongas, or Pline, if none of those four guys show out. All right, let's talk a little bit about the offensive line. Grant Cohn had an idea the other day that I thought was kind of interesting. I kind of was in the mindset that there's nothing left to do on the offensive line, because I'm just a believer that you have to either your offensive line, you have to be real. You have to either draft somebody who's real. You got to sign somebody who's real. You know, it's very rare that you find Jordan Mailata. You know, it's very, very rare that you find some, you know, really good offensive linemen that nobody else found, that, you know, it's like just out there. But he suggested that the Niners go sign the former Jaguar, Brandon Scherff. And Scherff started 51 regular season games for the Jaguars over the last three seasons. He did not surrender a single sack in 2024, according to PFF. He was fourth among all guards in pass blocking efficiency. As a run blocker, he ranked 57th. And now you've got a brand new, you know, Jaguar front regime. James Gladstone comes over from the Rams. You know, he's reshaping the offensive line. They let Scherff go in free agency, and he made six different O-line additions in the draft or outside signings. So they're trying to turn over their O-line. What do you think of Scherff, who played with, you know, Trent Williams in Washington, who has been a very, very, you know, solid NFL guard? What do you think of the idea of spending some money on Brandon Scherff and using Bartsch or Colby or any of these other guys more as bench pieces and trying to add a little bit to the interior? Is he a fit?
He's a fit 100%. He's one of the most athletic interior offensive linemen to come out of the NFL in the past two decades, and from Iowa, outside zone, coached by McVay at Washington, you know, which you just talked about. Like, yeah, he fits, but he's 34 years old. And so, like, you would have the oldest O-line group with, you know, 37-year-old Trent Williams, 34-year-old Scherff. He could plug and play. I think they want to go young. I think they want to go cheap. I think they want to go. If you had a couple injuries, even, I still don't think that they would pull that trigger. Not saying that's a good call or a bad call, but I don't know. There's so many guards that they like. You drafted Connor Colby in the seventh round, who is basically a decade younger than Scherff, that has played that same spot. They're really high.
They like Drew Moss. They're definitely high on Drew Moss.
So I think they're going to stay young. I don't mind the idea of getting more veteran, whatever, but like, you signed Ben Bartsch to a $1 million deal to be a starter. Like, they are going cheap on the offensive line, and the new philosophy, whether you like it or not, we're going bargain bin shopping, and we're just getting guys that could fit. And Chris Forster outlined this for us. You were at the press conference. We believe if we just get an average level player on that offensive line, we're going to be just fine. The Shanahan scheme, outside zone, play action pass, all that will cover up the rest of it. So we're going to spend our resources elsewhere. You know, will Scherff come out of, he's close to retirement, you know, 34 year old. We'll see. Nobody signed him yet. I don't see it. I wouldn't be upset, but I think they want to see what the young guys could do first. And if you did make a sign like that, I think it would be like week two, or maybe right after, you know, you're through with the preseason and whatever else, and you make the cut down, then you sign them. I doubt it happens, though. It seems like they're trying to go young and cheap.
Let's cut to the chase. Give me your five starters. Is it Trent, Bartsch, Brendel, Pooney, McKivitz?
Yes. Yes, it is. Okay. I don't even think there's a battle anywhere, to be honest with you.
Who are your backups then? Because it, you know, this is an area where I do feel like they are improved here with the backups. You've added Connor Colby. You've added Drew Moss. You got another year of experience for Drake Nugent, for Nick Sakel. Spencer Burford. They brought in Andre Dillard. They brought in Matt Hennessy last year. Austin Pleasance, to me, looks absolutely monster. I don't know if that's real or not. He looks fantastic. How many backup offensive linemen do they go with? Do they go with four and they wind up with nine, or do they go with five and they wind up with 10? You know, the one thing about backup O-linemen, they don't play. So if you go with too many backup O-linemen, you can really hurt your roster or handicap your roster in other spots. Who are the backup O-linemen? I think that's going to be a pretty damn good competition.
I want four. I think it's going to be three. My four would be Hennessy. Then I'm going Nick Sakel, Connor Colby. Ah, man, I can't do it. Nope, I got to kick Sakel out. And I don't think that they're going to do that. But I'm going Connor Colby, Spencer Burford, and Andre Dillard. We haven't even seen that dude play yet. Like, he might not even you know.
So wait, no Hennessy? Or did you say Hennessy?
Yeah. So Hennessy, Connor Colby, Spencer Burford, Andre Dillard.
Okay.
But so, I don't think you're going to do that.
Pleasance and Zakel and Moss and Nugent, those guys get cut. I'll say this. I mean, Dillard. I think Dillard against Pleasance against Burford is going to be a really good competition. And I think Hennessy against Zakel against Colby against Moss, I think is also going to be a hell of a competition. I think it's going to be rough for them to cut Zakel because he's Purdy's good buddy. But I think
looked
it could
good
happen.
Last year. He looked good last year.
Exactly. It's kind of now or never for Burford. You know, it probably should be now or never for Pleasance. He's been around the block so many times. Pleasance looks so good. I have a hard time picturing Pleasance not making the team. But Dillard wasn't even out there. And Dillard, I think, definitely improved in Green Bay from what he put on the field at Philadelphia. He was a former first-round pick. A lot of people think of Andre Dillard as just a bust. But he's just kind of raw. And he's still big and fast and athletic and talented. So he's not that old. So we'll see. I mean, it's to me, that is going to be interesting.
There's so many in that room, Larry.
So many. Yeah, they've got a better competition for the backup spots, but they still could probably, you know, invest a day one pick in an offensive lineman in 2026. I'd be shocked if they don't. All right, let's talk about a couple of those other spots. Receiver. You know, where are you with the receivers? Because, you know, you're not going to have Ayuk, you're not going to have Debo's gone. And DeMarcus Robinson is going to miss the first 3 weeks. So you got Pearsall, but he hasn't played very much. You had Jennings in a contract year. You have the 2-4-3 guys, Jordan Watkins and Jacob Cowing. And then after that, it's just kind of, you know, you got DeMarcus Robinson, as I said, but not the first 3 weeks. Then you have Isaiah Hodgins, Isaiah Nayer, Junior Bergen, who says his goal is to make the Hall of Fame. You have Malik Knowles, Tariq Owens, Russell Gage, Trent Taylor's on the, I think, on the IR.
He's gone.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is a spot, and I don't know if I told you, but I did a video this week that was one of my favorite videos I've done in a while. Basically, what I did was I just went, and I went through the wide receiver position, and I wanted to look at every team's depth chart to see who is most likely going to be, you know, have extra receivers.
I hear those notes pages turning over there, Larry. I freaking love it, dude.
Seriously.
I love this.
I made this video and I just have the notes from it. So the three teams, John, that I found that have way too many receivers: Green Bay, they've got Romeo Doubs, Jaden Reed, Matthew Golden, Savion Williams, Christian Watson. They have who else? Mecole Hardman, Dontavian Wicks, and Bo Melton.
I like Bo Melton.
So I have a feeling that they may cut Bo Melton.
Oh,
so Bo Melton, who they're using as a corner, he's a good special teamer. He's a quick receiver. His brother plays corner for the Cardinals. But I think there's a very good chance that Bo Melton or Mecole Hardman could get cut in Green Bay. Those are kind of interesting names. The Jets, we talked about this before, but Malachi Corley, I think, is a very good chance he gets cut by the Jets. They have a lot of receivers. And then I was looking at every team in the league, and I got to Kansas City. And Kansas City has Xavier Worthy, Hollywood Brown, Rashee Rice, Jalen Royals, who they just drafted at Utah State. I think he makes it. Juju Smith-Schuster, Sky Moore, Justin Ross, and others. But one of the guys they have is Elijah Badger, who is the Florida receiver, who I didn't realize, but he's a NorCal guy. He's from South Sac. He went to Folsom High School. He's got natural receiving ability. He started off at ASU and then went to Florida. I kind of did the Ricky Pearsall thing.
He sure
probably
did.
Knows Ricky. 6'1", 200 pounds, ran 4.43. I love this receiver, Elijah Badger. And I just think that there's a very good chance that Badger gets, you know, Kansas City is not, he's not going to make that receiving core. But they're going to recognize that he's good. And then they're going to try to squeeze him through waivers to their practice squad. And this would be the guy that I would pluck Now, there are a few other names I'm going to throw your way. Nick Nash, who's with the Falcons. Brandon Rice, Jerry's son, with the Chargers. Laviska Shenault with Buffalo, who's very versatile player. And Kendrick Bourne with New England. I think all those guys could get cut as well. And you might be able to choose from one of these guys. Of all of them, I think I would want Elijah Badger. I'm a big fan of Elijah Badger. You have to watch Florida film to check him out. But how do you feel at the receiver spot? How many do you keep? And Junior Bergen, Isaiah Nayer, Isaiah Hodgins, Malik Knowles, are you giving any of these guys a shot? Or are you going to look elsewhere for that last receiver pick?
Yeah, outside wide receiver is a major question mark early with Ayuk and DeMarcus Robinson, probably not going to be there early. And again, week one, Seattle, one of the most important games of the year. Like, you've got to hit the ground running against a quality secondary. You've got to have outside help. That's why I'd lean vets, and so I think Isaiah Hodgins, I think Russell Gage, I think those are the two guys that I would like to see. But I do. I like Isaiah Nayer. I really like Malik Knowles. Now, he can play outside, but he's more of that Debo type role, tackle breaker, whatever else. Of all the names you mentioned, of all the names you mentioned, Laviska Shenault is the one, because he's that Malik Knowles Debo role. Like, you put him back at returner, done. You run some jet sweeps, done. Like, you're good there. But outside wide receiver, you've got to have somebody come out of these battles, whether that's Jacob Cowing. Now, I know people are like, well, he's too small. Well, he can play outside wide receiver. He did at Arizona, and the 4.3 speed says he can. Isaiah
he looks
Nayer,
great in practice. Cowing looks phenomenal in practice. I'll just say that. I will take it for what it's worth. I realize, but it's practice, but he looks great right now.
Maybe he makes that sophomore jump, which I think that's the Niners want him to win. The 49ers want him to win that role. It's just, can you trust him? He spent time with Brock Purdy, with Ricky Pearsall. He's added weight. Like, that's great. That's great. That's who they want to win. I mean, you remember that 50-yard catch that he had. He never got a target for the next 6 weeks after that. I think it was against the Chiefs. Like, it was just like, what happened? Like, this dude dusts a corner for a 50-yard gain on a go route, and then
never to be heard from again. Yeah.
It was what happened, and he wasn't lining up right. And I understand Kyle Shanahan. His quote was, "Well, he's got to earn those snaps. He's got to earn those targets." And so maybe he's earned that this offseason. And so that's who they want to win. I'm betting on Isaiah Hodgins, though. I think Shanahan wants veteran, somebody you can trust, somebody that's done it before. You know what you're going to get out of him. It's not flashy. It's not sexy, but I think he could bring that. And so I think, and Isaiah Hodgins or Russell Gage, they might not even make the 53-man cut, but we've seen Shanahan do this gentleman's agreement shake, right? So many times, whether that was Willie Snead or Chris Conley or Trent Taylor, hey, we're going to cut you, but we're going to bring you back on our practice squad, and we're going to guarantee promote you the first two games of the season. One of those veteran, look, we're going to let you go. Don't go anywhere else. I promise you we're promoting you week one and week two. You're going to be out there special teams, and you'll be our fourth wide receiver for the first 2 weeks type of a thing.
I would have to vote for Hodgins over Gage on that one. But what about Amari Cooper? What about Keenan Allen? What about some of the veterans, real veterans? Like Kendrick Bourne could get cut by New England. I would say it's probably going to happen. Are you interested? Or even Gabe Davis, who they brought in a month ago for a look-see. Would you rather go with Knowles, Gage, or Hodgins, or try to go outside for a veteran?
I would go outside. And again, the two positions that I think are you need veteran depth at more than anywhere, outside corner, which we talked about, and outside wide receiver. But it's a temporary fix. And this is kind of the problem that I have, is once DeMarcus Robinson comes back after suspension, you kind of solve that issue. I love that signing. Once Ayuk's back, now it's kind of overkill outside wide receiver. So do you go break the bank and spend a $4 to $7 million for an Amari Cooper, or a $2 to $5 million for a Keenan Allen? If you're just, this is a month long band-aid, right? And so, which is going to take away snaps from these younger guys, or do you say, hey, and this seems to be the answer the 49ers are giving currently, let's see if one of the young guys can show out and win, And if they can, then we're fine, and that's best case scenario because we're not wasting roster spot and more salary cap. But if they cannot, then we're going to pluck somebody to come in here. But yeah, I do think that you need more depth. But if you can get a cheap signing, probably wouldn't be an Amari Cooper or Keenan Allen. But like, yeah, I would like something there. If Kendrick Bourne gets cut, yeah, I think Kendrick Bourne's best in the slot, but he could play outside. He can't stretch the field vertically. That's always been his kind of MO. It's like, that's the problem. He plays like a good outside wide receiver. He's a light, not as physical Juwan Jennings. We've seen it. He can play slot. He can play outside. If he gets cut, yeah, that's the answer. I'm not so sure they're going to cut him, though. They love, dude, the Patriots love Kendrick Bourne. They try to
cut him.
So I don't know. If he does get cut, yes.
I think he will this year because they've just got a lot of young receivers that they've got to account for, and they drafted a couple guys last year, Javon Baker, Jalen Polk. They're either going to cut those guys or they're going to cut Bourne, and they may cut those guys. We'll see. Two last ones on the Niners before we call it quits. I think the two most important spots on the offense. Let's start running back, and then we'll talk quarterbacks. You got CMC. Is he back? Is he not back? Okay, well, you know, I don't know. You got Juice is back. Garendo, James, Jordan James, Patrick Taylor Jr., Corey Kiner, Izzy Abanaconda. I'm excited as heck about this position. One, for a couple of reasons. One, Christian is back healthy. He looks really good. But what I'm really excited about is that Garendo looks great. I mean, he looks amazing. Like, he looks like a star. He really looks like the kind of guy that could be, the kind of guy that everybody in the rest of the league is talking about, Isaac Garendo. And then, you know, Jordan James and Corey Kiner have also kind of flashed at times. And I've always been a big Izzy Abanaconda fan, and I kind of thought Taylor played decently last year. So there is no guaranteed money for any of these backups. I mean, Juice is making his money. He's going to make the team. CMC obviously is going to make the team. But like everybody else is kind of on an even playing field. So it's a legitimate competition. It's not like one guy's got $5 million coming his way. Garendo's going to be on this team for sure. But I'm really, really excited about Garendo. And I'm not sure between the other four who's going to fire and who's not. But I think they're all pretty intriguing. I think running back, to me, the most exciting part of this year is the idea that the Niners could transition from CMC's dominant to CMC and Garendo are an amazing combo.
You know, my biggest issue with Isaac Garendo has been injuries his entire career. I mean, he's missed so much time. He didn't take part in rookie minicamp last year. I think he practiced five times through all of training camp. Last season, he had multiple hamstring issues, all that stuff. He's practicing now. And this is where Garendo is going to shine. Shirt and shorts. He's the biggest running back. He's the fastest running back. Like, this is his thing. But now that he's getting practice, can he develop the vision? That's his thing, is injuries and vision. He's got the speed. He's got the size. He's got the receiving threat. He's got. So the fact that he's getting reps now in the offseason, and if he can stay healthy, man, I really hope you're right, Larry, and I think we could see that. It's just, man, last year he got thrown into the fire after not practicing at all because you didn't have anybody else. And he answered the call. He did pretty well. There were five or six plays he ran into his own guy. It's going to happen. He was, you know, going over through the bumps and bruises lifetime in NFL games instead of practice. So can he develop into, and the fact that now he's getting to practice behind Christian McCaffrey, which he couldn't last year because CMC and him were both out. Christian McCaffrey, what's his best trait? Vision. Maybe the best vision of any running back in NFL history. That's what makes him so special. So if you could kind of steal and siphon some of that off and learn and grow into that with those reps, that's what's going to make Isaac Garendo special. And so I think that this is huge. Yeah, I remember last year, Christian McCaffrey was questionable week one. Do you remember that? Like, Kyle Shanahan was like, yeah, he could play this week. And then he didn't play for, what, 3 months? Chris McCaffrey hasn't missed a day. And so you got to go with kind of the reports that are out there. I'm excited about this room too, man. And I'm kind of worried Patrick Taylor, who's somebody I really like and I think you can trust, like, he might get cut, which that sucks. But, man, I really like Patrick Taylor. That's how good this room is. If somebody like a Corey Kiner steps up, Jordan James is making this roster for sure. Like, I don't know. This is solid room. I hate that Jordan Mace is not here, and he's one of my favorite players, but this is solid room, and you have depth, and you can't say that about a lot of positions on this team.
No, it's a good room for sure. All right, let's finish with quarterback, and then I have one super to throw your way. Somebody's got a good question. Purdy's going to be the one. Rourke is going to be the four. And really, it's just a matter of Mac Jones against Tanner Mordecai, and it's not really much of a competition because the Niners are paying Mordecai no guaranteed money. Mac Jones was just signed and given $4.75 million guaranteed to be the number two quarterback. So if Jones beats out Mordecai, he's number two. If Jones and Mordecai battle to an even standstill, then Jones is number two. If Mordecai beats out Jones slightly, I got to say it, Jones is number two still. The only way this is going to change is if Tanner Mordecai beats out Mac Jones decisively. If Tanner Mordecai looks worlds better than Mac Jones, both all summer in camp and in the preseason games, I think there's a chance that in that scenario, Mordecai would be the two and that they would flip Mac Jones to another team, probably for some seventh-round pick. And then I could see C.J. Beathard or somebody like that who was just working out with Brock and Kittle in Nashville last week. I could see somebody like that being signed it to be the number three for the year. I just don't believe the Niners are going to pay. The same way they weren't going to pay Trey Lance $9 million to be their third-string quarterback, they will not pay Mac Jones $4.75 million to be the number two quarterback. I know the argument is, hey, well, you're going to pay the same for Mordecai or for Jones, whether they're, you know, they go 3-2 or 2-3. I get that. But I just don't believe that the Niners will keep Mac Jones at 4.75 if he's not number two. And I don't think he's going to be happy, and nor would he want to stay here if he's not number two. So I think this is actually kind of one of the more interesting competitions because Mordecai's a better athlete. He's got a better arm. He's, you know, has been in the system longer. And this is a complicated system. And he looked much better than Mac in the OTAs. I know the plan is for Mac to be number two, and that's 95% of the chance of what happens here. But if Mordecai beats him out, I think Jones is traded, and we see a different number three. Give me your thoughts on quarterback.
Yeah, I think Kyle got tired of the revolving door at the backup spot. This is the first time he's given out a two-year contract to a backup quarterback in Mac Jones. He signed this year, next year. And he's got, you know, the 4-7 guarantee that you talked about.
Is it guaranteed next year, too?
He's got guaranteed salary is 1.51 this year, 1 million next year. But the cap that you talked about was the 4.75. So it's divided up in a couple chunks. But yeah, 4.75 coming off the books this year. So that's the fully guaranteed. But I did think this, again, this was a contract that got done early in free agency. There were a lot of quarterbacks out there. Shanahan went and targeted this guy. The love he's had for him since, you know, the Trey Lance draft and all that kind of stuff, it's all documented. I think Kyle just said, look, I'm tired of this revolving door crap. And so let's get a guy that I like that fits my system, blah, 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 blah. Mac Jones wants to come here, revitalize his career. I like Tanner Mordecai too, man. I'm a Texas dude. I saw that dude win a state championship in person. Like, he is a baller.
Yeah. He's an athlete.
He carried his team against South Lake. I think he beat South Lake one of the games I was at. A lot of Texas high school football in my past. But like, that dude carried he's elite. But we've seen Kyle not give the job to the best starting quarterback before. You put Allen out there last year, whenever Dobbs was clearly the better choice. You put Brandon Allen out there with a broken hand in bad weather, whenever he clearly wasn't the choice. That's why I think even if Tanner Mordecai wins that job, Kyle, he's sticking with Mac Jones. Nobody's going to talk him out of this because he's convinced he could turn this dude into a superstar. My thing is, I hope Mac Jones does ball out in the limited reps he gets and goes and signs for, you know, the next Sam Darnold deal and we get another third-round comp pick. But we'll see. I think it's going to be Mac Jones. I do like Tanner Mordecai, though, and I hope he sticks around for a long time.
Last one, Juan Solo says, what is the weakest position group on the 49ers?
Center. It's not even close.
O-line, would you say?
No, I mean, I like the fact that two out of your five starters and Dominic Pooney and Trent Williams are Pro Bowl All-Pro level. And I believe Dominic Pooney's there already. Like, that's 40%. So I don't think the offensive line, and it's one of the most offensive line friendly schemes. I am saying center has been and will continue to be a weak point of this entire roster as long as Jake Brendel's here. You're getting what you pay for, and he's one of the lowest paid centers. Congrats to him who just had a kid. I do think that's awesome, and to him and his family. And I actually like the dude, but, like, it's just bad play and just poor red zone, poor short yardage, quits on plays 10 times a game. Like, I don't understand what blackmail pitchers he has. That's my biggest issue. No.
Yeah, just to pick some, just to be different on, you know, cause I think you're probably right. I'd probably go offensive line and I'm not a gigantic Brendel fan either. I don't quite get that. But if you were talking about position group, I don't really love the tight end spot. Now, obviously you have Kittle, and Kittle's a great tight end. So that obviously helps. But as far as the rest of that group, Farrell to me looks very stiff, and he's big. But he looks very stiff. And the rest of those guys look like receiving tight ends that aren't great receivers. I mean, that are not, like, awesome receivers. So I kind of think that, like, George Kittle is such an incredible player that we just think of tight end spot as really good. But, man, if George Kittle at any point went down, I think the Niners would just be in such hurt. I think that's the weakest position on the team. I think that you don't even have guys that you could use. Like, I don't think you can run the ball if you had Dwelly. I don't think you can run the ball with Braden Willis. I don't know that you can run the ball with anybody besides Kittle or Farrell. So I would say tight end. I would say tight end as a group might be the weakest spot. All right, that's going to do it for us. Camp will be here before long. John, what do you got cooking the rest of the day? Tell people, I know I just saw you put it out on X. Maybe I could call this up here. You have announced what the travel schedule is going to be for the 49er Rush podcast travel itinerary.
Yeah, we're going ham, man. We are going
You're
to
going a lot of
every single. We got 9 trips this year. We're doing all the road games except for LA because we take over that stadium anyway. There's a large Niner presence. That's a home game. So, yeah, if you want to come out and party with us, we throw parties the day before. Every single 49ers road game, we fly to the city. We rent out venues, family-friendly. Kids are free to every single event. And then we host an incredible tailgate, raffles, giveaways. Again, kids are free to every event with a ticketed adult. And we're going to Vegas for the preseason. So you want to come party with us at tailgate in Vegas. That's up on there. All you got to
do is drinking contests at these events. Look at this.
Oh, hell yeah, we do. We do a what's it called? We play flip cup sometimes, but we do a thunderstruck drinking beer game. It's a good time for those that want to participate. Man, we give so much stuff away. I have 110 autographed jerseys in my possession that we give away on these road trips. And so try to make memories and make it good for the kids. So all you got to do is go to the Tick Pick app, use promo code Niners, NINERS, and then just search 49ers Rush. All of our events are exclusively on the Tick Pick app. And again, you can go buy those now. They're the cheapest they're going to be. And we do sell out of a lot of events like Houston and New Orleans and New York. Probably going to sell out of those. Man, we're going to have a seafood boil tailgate, which I'm so pumped about in New Orleans. So I'm so excited about that. Larry's coming to one.
I'm definitely coming to one. Seattle, New Orleans, Tampa, Houston, New York, Arizona, Cleveland, Indy. And I just, for those who follow me on Twitter at Sports Larry K, I just retweeted John. If you haven't followed John, John's a good follow at JL_Chapman. He's got the list there. He's got the link there. I'm pointing to it. Hopefully you guys can see that. TickPick.com/organizer. The connection, the link is right there. So definitely guys, if you haven't been to one of the road trips, definitely it's worth doing. Definitely worth doing. All right, that's going to do it for us. Thanks to John. Thanks to Pig in a Pickle. Thanks to Sharp Corner Sports Cards and Collectibles. Thanks to our good friends at Clawdaddy Arcades and Learnkey Upscale Academy. The link's in the description for all of our sponsors. John, I'll give you the final word.
Man, I just want to say thank you, Larry, for all that you brought to the freaking off season. It's been incredible. And in 10 days, we're going to have you interviewing people and bringing us the insight. I'm going to be messaging you, man. Hey, who's getting these number two snaps? Who's rotating over here? So Larry, just really appreciate you, your family, your boys for all that you bring to us. And man, off season's almost over, ladies and gents. And we are going to have new 49ers content and tape and all kinds of breakdowns. And just want to say thanks to Larry, man. Appreciate you, bro.
Thank you, John. Appreciate that. Thanks to everybody. As the one-time great pro and now great college coach, Bill Belichick said, no days off. No days off. Yeah, never met a man I've been scared of. Careful.